evening, and welcome to Cheater and the Rude on the Progressive Radio Network. Progressive Radio Network's moving forward, and they want you to come all over them. Ladies and gentlemen, I am Jeff Kreiser, the author of the book Get Rich Cheating, also known as The Cheater, and to some people, I'm known as Dad. Also, my son calls me Wah. Joining us any minute now is going to be Lee Papa, the author of the blog The Rude Pundit, who also wrote a book. In the engineer booth is Giselle Hernandez. As always, Giselle, if you're listening, get ready the Tokyo clip, if you know what I mean. It's a short little clip we're going to play in a little bit of time. Oh, my God, there's somebody on television who I recognize. It's crazy. This is a multimedia experience. You're listening to radio on the internet while I look at television and tell you about it through a phone line. Welcome to the future, everyone. I hope you enjoy your flying cars. And also your people that try to take you back to the past. You may know them as time travelers. I call them the Republican Party. Look, it's time we just stop beating around the bush. There's no sense pretending that everybody's bad, all the parties are the same. Look, no party is good. By its definition, a politician is a douche. They're all douches, but the Republican Party is worse. The false equivalencies we hear comparing, the Koch brothers' control of everything to, I don't know, Cory Booker missed a hair when he was shaving. They're that. They're false equivalencies. So let's not beat around the bush. I mean, when the Democrats, the whiny ones, complain about an election like Alec Baldwin always does. Now, if George Bush wins,
Why are you dissing Alec Baldwin?
Because he's not here right now. And maybe if I diss him enough, he'll finally come on our show. We ask him every week. We don't use those words.
Every week. You're right.
We ask Alec Baldwin to come. Hey, why don't you introduce yourself while I eat this jelly bean that's been melting in my hand?
Oh, okay. Hi, everybody. I'm Lee Papa. You may remember me as the one-time co-host of this show, the writer of the blog The Rude Pundit and the book The Rude Pundit's Almanac.
Yeah, hey, I forgot the name of your book. I was just saying
yes.
It was this thing that he was shilling because he's...
Oh, okay. So what's going on with you? How is
Nothing,
everything?
It's good. My body's tired. I think it must be the rain. I'm just very achy.
Yeah.
I've also been keeping up on the news a lot more, even more than normal.
Isn't it just ridiculous keeping up with the news so much?
It is, and there's just I want to interview like a pollster and say, what is your problem? Like, why is there 10 polls every day? Like, left-handed lesbian women that don't have Social Security but came from Toledo, a key demographic, they believe that Romney has a 12% lead, margin of error 12%.
Well, but they're wrong.
They are. What's going on in the background?
What's that? I'm actually standing on the street because, once again, I totally spaced. I'm outside a sushi restaurant.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Good.
But
is it good? Is it? You,
the sushi?
I'm not gonna
pick
them out, yeah.
The sushi is delicious.
Well, see, this is the thing about Cheater and the Rude. You are rude not just to your political opponents, but also to yourself.
I'm totally rude to you and to Giselle. Yes.
That's
so,
okay. You know what? Giselle can handle it. Like, at worst.
Is there too much background noise?
No. I don't think so.
Okay, good.
I mean, Giselle is thick skinned. I'm the fragile one. I can't handle being treated like this anymore. I'm the cheater.
Are you fragile? I don't want you to be fragile, man. I want you to be happy.
I am happy, but
yeah.
I'm exhausted, and sometimes happy and exhausted make a smoothie of uncertain fragility.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I'm pretty burnt out already on this election. I don't want to go through this for the next, six
months.
Weren't
you burnt out like 6 months ago?
I was burnt out on the primary 6 months and the election, yes, 6 months ago, and now I'm burnt out again.
Yeah, I'm going to have to sort of come close to siding with you. I mean, there's got to be a perspective on it that's fresh, and I'm even burnt out on like following the media as an amusing side note to it, like following the media, like the whole Cory Booker thing that happened this week, the whole blow up over that thing.
Yeah, it's just stupid after a while.
It's dumb and it's predictable and it's sad. But then what do we even talk about? I mean, what can we not? I don't mean you and I on the show.
I mean, you know, we keep talking. And maybe that's one reason why. I mean, let's examine this maybe in a more personal way. That maybe that's one reason why I've been so distracted when it comes to doing, you know, Cheater in the Rude. That perhaps I'm Progressive Radio Network. I almost said public radio. It's not, we're public, but we're not public radio.
Well, we do. They do let almost anyone from the public into the studio at any time. So it's sort
of
public.
Yes. Are you in the studio?
No, I'm not. But I have been in the studio, and my olfactory senses are sharp regarding the president.
So, but anyway, this is why. I mean, it's the inundation.
Because you don't want to repeat what everyone else has already said.
Right.
Would it make you feel better to know that right now, I don't know if we want to go down this road, but see if you can answer one guess as to who is guest hosting Viewpoint with Elliot Spitzer.
I think I know.
Is it somebody that, it's somebody,
he
you know
is,
who it is.
He's a beloved stand-up comedian, John Fugelsang, isn't it?
He is. John Fugelsang, that is correct. Anyway, so that, you know,
he's
embracing talking about.
Yes, I'm just saying that I find this entire kind of, holy crap, what did you get?
What do you mean, holy crap, what did I get? Are you talking to somebody else or to me?
I'm sorry, I'm talking about somebody else. So
well, see, there you go. That's the point.
I'm looking in the window of the sushi restaurant, and so anyway, I'm going to focus
here. But isn't
that
our political, isn't that politics right now, is that we'd rather look at someone's sushi dinner? Because it's a little more real.
Yeah.
It's a little more tangible.
You're right, right.
I was talking to someone today about the disconnect, this whole thing that's gone around about, the Republicans saying Obama's attacking capitalism. I mean, we could go into how it's a dog whistle to their, well, that bullshit, but it's just a different language, because you ask regular people, what's capitalism? And they talk about, being able to start a small business, being able to, get a job and invest how you want to have a house and raise a family, and, it's all personal stuff, stuff that real people deal with, whereas the language, the people that are using language above are talking about, J.P. Morgan losing $7 billion or attacking Bain Capital, and it's $1 trillion. It's different worlds. Just different worlds, you know? It's like the one is in the clouds and doesn't affect us, and the other is down below. And, you know, the chattering is just for the chatterers to listen to. And it's a little disheartening.
That's the thing. It's like everybody's saying, talking about the intensity with which this election is being covered does not match the intensity with which the nation actually thinks about it. And those of us that watch, that are in this sort of bubble world that we exist in, where we watch the news and we follow it all the time, all we think about is, oh, yes, this is going to happen. Oh, no, Cory Booker, that bastard, how dare he have said something nice about Bain. Now Romney gave this speech to this Latino organization about education and didn't mention immigration once. Blah, 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 blah. And most of the rest of the nation is like, I don't give a shit about any of this until October.
Right, and really, who was affected? You know, there was this whole thing where there was a day this week when Romney was using, Booker and Harold Ford in an ad against Obama, and Obama
Stephen Rattler, too.
Right, and then Obama was using some Romney surrogate in an ad against Romney, and it's like, whose mind is being changed by knowing that a surrogate sort of stepped out of line in April or whatever month we're in, May?
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't get what
you know what we need to do?
What?
We need to have a 2-day election cycle where everybody gets off and you have to – it's mandatory viewing of your television.
Didn't it used to be that the conventions were covered gavel to gavel on all of the networks, that the TV just stopped for the conventions? I mean, that's the way it was when I was a kid.
Yeah, but you can't do that. I mean, there's no point in that now when you're already getting basically the conventions for the year and a half in advance. I'm just saying, if campaign finance reform includes campaign reform, where you can't do it. I mean, of course, you'd never be able to enforce that because everything's so campaigning.
But
just like
even... but you know, we're doing is we're just talking to each other. We're really not talking to anybody out there. We're just talking to each other.
Maybe we should get, you know what, some of our favorite shows are when we were down at Occupy and we're just talking to random people, like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Maybe you and I need to go on the road.
Go on the road,
get
huh?
Have a half a tank of gas and whatever, some quote from some movie, and just get out there and feel the people.
Yes, yes. Were you doing a Blues Brothers reference that you didn't quite get to?
Yeah, I was thinking about that, but I was like, ugh, I'm not that one, no.
Yeah, see, this is it. It's made us exhausted. And I don't know, you know, that's what I face every day. I sit there, and just to get a little personal here, I sit that face that blank screen every day, and I think, what the fuck am I going to say that I haven't said 1,000,000 times already? And what the fuck... And who the fuck am I talking to except the same people, and not necessarily the same people to say the people that agree with me, but people that are like-minded when it comes to how they follow the news. That's what I mean by the same people. We're in this big circle jerk. And in the middle are the people that we're supposed to actually be giving a shit about who aren't paying attention until they get sprayed in the face by the circle jerk.
That's pretty deep, bro. It's worthy of Cheater and the Rude metaphor. I think one of the most rewarding times I've had is when I performed like in 2004, we did a political comedy tour that was like in Texas and then like battleground states, and I performed like in Indiana, like performing in places where maybe my audience is mostly people that agree with me, but then afterwards you're still in that community and like they have brought their friends that disagree, like being able to engage in a conversation with people that disagree. And I've always said,
right,
like, the great thing about humor is that it's a way to engage people in discussions they might not otherwise have, because it, you know, it makes it fun, if you will.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know that I have a solution. That means there's a solution. You know what? I think what I'm saying is more dick jokes, less dickheads.
More dick jokes, less dickheads. Yes, that's good. Hey, I need to pause for just a second. Why don't you take it for a moment, and I'll be right back.
Lee is going to get something from the city of Tokyo. It's a certain type of sushi that is like this, Giselle.
It's Godzilla!
Godzilla sushi roll. Without Giselle, let's take a 30-second break, and we'll be back with me, Jeff Chrysler, the cheater, and maybe the rude. Cheater on the Root on the Progressive Radio Network. When Lee comes back, let's surprise him. We're going to talk. We're going to go off topic. We're going to talk about something besides politics. I don't know what it is, but we're going to go there. Until that time, I was just starting on my rant about how the parties aren't the same. You know, probably the Democrats, the Alec Baldwin, say, if the other guy wins the election, that's how Alec Baldwin talks.
Hey, what the hell is this? I go away for 2 minutes and you talk about Alec Baldwin again?
Well, I didn't want to leave people hanging. I know that our listeners are smart and they know when threads have been unfinished. I was going to finish the thread and then come back.
I'm sorry. Finish the thread.
And then I said to the guy, you're Alec Baldwin. Dun, 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 dun. They'll have to tune in next week to see how that ends. Because right now,
did I
want to
change topics. Did I ever tell you that I got punched by Alec Baldwin?
No. I can understand why.
I got shoved by Alec Baldwin. I got punched by Kim Basinger.
In the same move? Like the same situation?
In the same moment. I was in a bar in New Orleans. See, this is way more interesting than any
this is what
of
I'm saying.
The, you know, you know,
just shut
my,
up and tell
I,
the story. Just shut up and tell the story. Don't
right.
Don't analyze that you're telling the story.
All right,
so
you're
tell
right.
the story.
I'm in this bar in New Orleans.
By the way, while you're telling the story, there's an Alec Baldwin Capital One commercial on the TV.
Beautiful, beautiful. So I'm in this bar in New Orleans, and I'm standing in the doorway. It was Mardi Gras time. This was, I don't know how many years ago. The movie Forrest Gump had just come out. That's how long ago it was, because I went to a movie theater, and Alec Baldwin and Kim Basinger were in the movie theater seeing Forrest Gump. So I'm at this bar, and I'm looking for somebody, and then I see this little blonde heading towards me really angry, and I look down as she's walking straight at me. And I was sort of blocking the door, but not really. And she, and I guess I was blocking her way, and I look at her, and I think, oh, shit, that's Kim Basinger. And except back then I didn't know how to pronounce it, and I probably thought passenger. And so she punches me in the stomach to get me out of the way.
Wait, you were just standing there and she was trying to leave?
She was trying to leave, but she was in a fury. And behind her was Alec Baldwin chasing her, essentially.
Oh,
and then he shoved me out of the way.
Oh.
And I thought, Alec Baldwin just touched me.
Not Kim Basinger touched you?
No, you know, but she hadn't really done much at that point.
Hmm.
I mean,
wow.
I guess she'd done, I don't know, had she done, no, she hadn't done L.A. Confidential, so.
9.5 weeks.
That's true. Yeah, I guess that was kind of lame of me to think, oh, gee, I think I just liked Alec Baldwin. He was, you know, how can you not?
You know what, the truth is, Alec Baldwin touched you, wouldn't have had a better long-term impact, because you could have hung with Alec Baldwin and been his door guy. Like, if you had stopped Kim Basinger from leaving and he had grabbed her and, like, they had reconciled, you would have been his buddy and you could have gone to all the parties, and then all of the Kim Basinger juniors would have...
Isn't this an episode of The Simpsons?
It will be.
No, it was, actually.
Was it really?
Yeah, Homer becomes friends with Kim Basinger and Alec Baldwin and ends up going to all the things and hanging out with them.
Can I not? Like, here's the problem. Why must every thought I have unintentionally be someone else's? Like, if someone once said something that applies to the situation, but I won't pretend to know what it is because someone will accuse me of repeating something somebody else said.
You know, man, this gets us back to what I was talking about before.
No, we're not going back there. We're staying happy. Do you know that my baby?
We're gonna talk happy shit. We're gonna talk.
Yeah,
happy
my
shit?
Baby's adorable. Have you seen my? You've met my baby.
Oh,
man, he's not all covered in scrotum.
Talk about your
poo.
Fucking baby. Jesus Christ! Yes, your baby's adorable. It's great.
So what I'm sensing here is you're really not negative about the election. You're just a bad person.
You know what? I'm just negative about this country that's been created. That's what's going on right now in my head. I feel as if we are. I was sitting at Sarge's Deli. It's in Manhattan. Sarge's Deli, old time, you know, deli. Most people don't know about it because it's not as famous as Second Avenue or the other Katz's. And I'm with one of our regular people on the show, Drew. And we're sitting there last night eating big fucking meat sandwiches, you know, like just gigantic piles of meat in a way that only, you know, Jews that make meat can pile it on rye bread.
Which I've still yet to figure out why my people do that. I know, like, you never know when we're going to get attacked and stuff.
You know what? The layers of pastrami were so delicious that I actually parted the pastrami like vaginal lips and I started fucking it with a pickle.
You know, it really would have been a lot better and easier and to just do a Red Sea thing there.
I
felt a parting of the Red Sea. Like, you could have even
evolved
vaginal lips or... Okay, whatever.
Yes,
go on.
There you go. Would you have preferred labia? Would labia have made you feel better?
No, I didn't feel bad. I just thought you missed an opportunity since we're talking about Jews and parting.
As
a comedian.
That's too easy. You know what? If Moses had parted the vaginal lips instead of the Red Sea, you know what? He still would have set the Jews free.
Okay, let's move on. So you were parting your Red Sea.
Yes. I was eating vaginal lips, he was just saying, what the fuck happened to the South? Because, you know, the latest, you know, the Tennessee shit that's gone on, the fact that Tennessee passed the no gateway, ended, didn't pass anything to actually help people with jobs, but ended its session by passing a legislature, ended the session by passing a the gateway sexual activity teaching, no, don't do that law.
Right, don't say gay.
Don't tell kids it's okay to hold hands. Because you know what? It's just one short step from holding hands to parting vaginal lip.
Yeah, see, but there what we needed is not parting vaginal lips. It's... Isn't it a gay thing? It's what kind of chocolate dessert do Jews make? Something ugly.
Babka?
Yeah, sure.
Babka?
One small step from holding hands to potting the babka with your pickle. What? All right, go on. Now that we've settled that.
You could go with arugula, which has all the layers.
True. And okay, I just had a terrible image in my mind. I'm not going to share. Continue.
Yes, were you boning arugula?
No, I was just, you know, like, you ever been to a gym and, like, really old men, they kind of look like arugula.
Yes, they do. Are you saying that you're attracted to really old men? I'm not really understanding.
No, there's never an element of attraction here whatsoever. I'm saying we're talking about using arugula, and I'm saying, well, it actually could be an appropriate, metaphor or foodophore, if you will, for...
Well,
sex with old men, which is obviously what we're talking about at all times. I'm going to
yes.
Become the clergy. All right, so anyway, you're parting the Red Sea. You're thinking about parting your arugula.
We're just
Tennessee.
Talking about how what has happened. What happened to the South? What happened to America, essentially, where we were having this nice, nice, you know, movement, progress, you know, in rights, in the way we treat the poor in society, you know, equality, all that good shit. You know, the South was
they were involved.
They were putting away all of the old prejudices and shit. And then, you know, I think starting with Reagan, inviting the... And he asked, Drew asked, so what happened? And I said, well, I think first of all, it was Reagan inviting evangelicals to participate, to have a seat at the political table. And then it was all of, and then it started with all of the Democrats switching to Republican because of Reagan. All the Southern Democrats had switched.
Right. Well, it's the Frankenstein monster that we've talked about before, of just like, you know, for the sake of winning, creating this monster, and now that monster is able to run things. I mean,
yes.
You know, you keep saying...
It's not even Frankenstein's monster. That thing could be stopped with fire. This thing's a fucking blob, you know? It just keeps growing, and it's metastasized.
Well, if something that was... Because the example I use is this guy... Murdoch, who just beat Indiana, is now nominated for Republican, and he says his idea of compromise is you agree with me. Probably, I mean, he's an older guy, but like, the point is, like, there's generations now that have grown up hearing the rhetoric of the Democrats are evil, or we must, whatever
right.
the slang is, and so now those people are becoming those that are in power, like the Republican freshmen or whatever, and they've heard this as the political marching orders forever, and even if the originators of these marching orders were coldly using them just for their own means and their own, like, short-term ends, it has long-term consequences, and that, ultimately, is what we've lost sight of, the idea of long-term planning. Everything is short term. It's politically, it's 2 years. You know, financially, it's 3 months. What are your quarterly earnings? You know, as far as Rigoluch, it's can you last for 15 seconds? And the point is, we don't think long term. And
no.
So we get these monsters that we create out of just short term. Even Stalin had 5-year plans. I mean, you know, there, I said it. Now someone out there can tweet that I did something about Stalin saying he was good, and another guy can Facebook it, and before you know it, there'll be my Twitter on a show.
You know what?
They
can suck my half-Aryan cock. My half-Aryan, half-Jew cock.
Yeah?
Yeah. You know what? I'm blonde-haired, blue-eyed. You know what? I'd have been okay. I could have passed in Hitler's Germany.
No, because you had a bad attitude.
Yeah, I suppose.
That's what, back then, that's what they called gay.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
Because there weren't actually gay people until disco invented them. So Donna Summer invented gay people in a 70s experiment with Al Gore.
Are you saying that Donna Summer was intentionally killed by 9/11 because of her invention of gay people?
I'm not saying it.
Because you do know she believes that. She believed that she got cancer because of the dust from 9/11. Did you know
that? I'm not saying that I don't believe that either.
No, but that's actually true, that she believed that. She believed that she got cancer because of where she lived.
Yeah, but what I don't wonder is whether or not I cannot force you to get upset about me not, like, confirming and validating your news flash for the rest of us that Donna Summer thinks she got cancer from 9/11. Like, it's a big fucking deal. I'm just not wondering how much you care about getting your point across.
What is my point?
Exactly. Your point is that it's all silliness and that most of us just find different ways to waste our time and amuse ourselves until we die. And I'm thankful that a few people, six or seven folks, maybe seven or eight folks, have chosen regularly-ish to waste their time with us because, I believe the children are our future. And
so are you saying that I should feel good about wasting time with you every Thursday night?
Well, it's more than just me. That's what I think you're going to say. Like, all of our listeners out there that every day go after the show and they email us and they send us stuff at PayPal. I mean, there's probably a couple that don't, and now's a good time for them to do it. But, like, all the people that are always, like, coming up to us at shows and giving us money, like, those are the people that are listening with us. It's not just you and me, Lee. You're never alone. Every day that you dream, you're with a unicorn. Every day that you aspire, you're with a butterfly. And I think you need to remember that because the world is a shitty, shitty shithole. But, you know, there's
are
also
light. Are you saying
that
I'm the tissue of the shitty world?
I'm saying that where the arugula meets the pastrami, you are the taint of promise. And if we fill your hole with more aspiration and hope, not to use an Obama line, but he is half white and half black, just like the taint, then I think that our future will be brighter, if a little bit smelly.
You've been listening to Cheater and the Rude on the Progressive Radio Network.
We're here every Thursday, 8 o'clock.
Most Thursdays.
Huh?
Not most Thursdays.
Well, we're here. Sometimes it's just me and some other guy.
You're right. I forgot about that. I'm going to go eat sushi.
Go eat sushi. Don't think about the pastrami metaphor. I'm Jeff Kreitzer. Right. That's Lee Papa. This is the Progressive Radio Network. We'll see you next time.